So yeah, I'm going to speak about isotopic heterogeneity and to discuss the nature of the material that we can sample using the OIB. So I would like to thank all the people who work with me on this project in Clermont-Ferrand. So modern mantle-derived samples have different geochemical signatures. We can see this looking at the trace elements. So here you have the MORB, so the depleted MORB mantle, so the MORB. And we can see different OIBs, so here using this classification, EM, IMU. And we can see that we have enrichment, and this enrichment in trace element can reach the value we measure in the continental crust. And if we look at the isotopic composition, we can see extreme value, and with this extreme isotopic composition, all these N members have been defined. And if we want to obtain such quadrogenic composition, for example, in strontium, we have to imply long-term recycling to explain this quadrogenic composition. So noble gases show also that a MORB source represents a more homogenized mantle. So you can see here the helium 4, helium 3. So in general, it's helium 3, helium 4. And so you have here the sample coming from so the upper mantle, the MORB. And you can see the large variation that we can measure in OIB. So we have a large variation with the very quadrogenic ratio that have been measured in Baffin Island Pyrite. So we speak about like a primitive mantle or under gas reservoir. So on this part, on this diagram. But we have also other hotspots that show primitive helium isotopic ratio, as for example, Hawaii, Iceland, or Galapagos. So in fact, we know that we can have a slab that descends well into the lower mantle until the core mantle boundary. So we have recycling. And I have divided my talk in two different parts. In the first one, I'm going to discuss this recycling material, and I will show you new results using the lanthanum cerium systematic, so it's a new development. And the second part, I would like to show the last result published using these two short-life systematics, so the samarium neodymium and the hafnium tungsten systematics. So if we see variation in 142 or 182 tungsten, that means that we have very early form reservoir because the lifetime of this systematic is extremely short, only 50 million years for this one and 500 million years for this one. So if we see variation in sample, that means that we sample very early form reservoir and we measured variation in Archean sample, but here I'm going to show results in OIBs. So if we decide to work on the lanthanum cerium systematic, so in fact the lanthanum decay to cerium, and it's a very long half-life. That means that the parent isotope decreased by only 1% over the age of the Earth. So this is not really important, but it's just to say that the variation will be extremely small because the decay is extremely long. So we have to be careful during the measurement to have a high precision measurement. And what is interesting is in fact that the cerium has two main oxidation states, so cerium 3+ and cerium 4+. So today, under current oceanic conditions, the cerium is oxidized into the insoluble cerium 4+, and is subtracted from seawater. And this means that if we look at the Earth element pattern of seawater, we have a strong cerium anomaly, so that means that we have a high lanthanum cerium ratio. So we try to quantify this cerium anomaly using this equation or different equation, but it's just to calculate the difference between the cerium and with the neighboring element that will be under the 3+ valence because they do not have different valence. So that means that if we have a negative cerium anomaly, with time we are going to develop a radiogenic cerium isotopic composition. So the nature of the and the chemistry of the material currently recycled is are relatively well known, and we can use this gloss composition that has been proposed by Terry Planck, and this corresponds to the bulk composition considering 25 trenches all over the world. And in fact, if we look at this material, we can see that the gloss has a small cerium anomaly with a value of 0.95. And in fact, if we look in more detail, we can see that 60% of the trenches have negative cerium anomaly with value up to 0.35. And in more detail, we can see that in some places we have very large cerium anomaly. For example, here you have two different values, so close to the Central America. And if we take also the mean value for the five trenches here, so considering the Kermadec, Tonga, Vanuatu, Mariana, Isubona arc, we can see also that there is a cerium anomalies. So we know that we have cerium anomalies in sediment today, and in fact, we have also cerium anomaly in arc lavas. So this is explained because we have the recycling of sediment, and the sediment is involved in the source of arc lava, so you have a transfer until the melting. So this has been described first for a sample coming from Mariana Island, and here I take all the value from the GeoRock database, so that shows you all the value for Central America arc lavas, and we can see that, that we have a nice distribution, but we are different from one. We have an anomaly close to 0.92 or 93. So in 2008, we have this paper, so that published so value for trace element and that measure cerium anomaly in Gough Island. So Gough Island is classified as an EM1 hotspot. And in fact, they measure small cerium anomalies, so they are negative, and using different geochemical proxies, so strontium and neodymium isotope, and also trace elements. So they show that this cerium anomaly cannot be explained by a shallow level contamination by local marine sediments, and is not the consequence of weathering process. So they conclude that we have to involve variable amount of sediment components, so a pelagic sediment component, in the mantle plume source. So that's why we decide to work on this systematics. Because in fact, if we combine the measurement of the two long-life systematics, so lanthanum cerium and samarium neodymium, we can define the shape of the light earth element of the source. So here it's just the calculation for the different reservoir. So with time, the depleted mantle evolves in this direction. Here is the crust. And you can see that for a material that have a negative cerium anomaly, these two systematics will be decoupled and we can see a radiogenic cerium isotopic composition. So in fact, these systematics may help deciphering the nature of the sediment involved in the source of YB. And one interesting point is that this is true today, but the chemistry of the sediments have changed through time because before the great oxygenation event, we have no cerium 4+, so there is no cerium anomaly in the sediment. So this is the first result we obtained on Gough Island. So first, I would like to see that, to show you that we were able to reproduce a negative value for the cerium anomaly only for three samples. And it's the same samples that Cornelia Klass measured a few years ago. And in fact, we show that there is no correlation between the elemental cerium anomaly and the isotopic composition. So it's extremely difficult to involve the contribution of all pelagic sediment to explain this data. And the measure epsilon cerium is not radiogenic, so the values are too low to give support to the incorporation of recycled pelagic sediment in the mantle source of Gough Island. So in fact, we are more in agreement with a second model that has proposed for the EM1 component. So if we consider the data measure in hafnium, cerium, and neodymium isotopic composition, these values are more consistent with the contribution in proportion between 10 and 30%. So we can obtain this value when we try to make the calculation between different, it's a mixing model between different components. So we imply 10 and between 10 and 30% of subcontinental lithospheric material. So that's true that GOF is classified as a deep rooted mantle plume, but in fact, all these samples have very low helium-3, helium-4 ratio, and we have the value that are similar to the MORB mantle. So in fact, we are more in agreement with a paper published a few years ago by Cantor and Baker that proposed that we have an incorporation of lithospheric material here in the shallow part. When the plume arrive to the surface. So how we can explain the negative elemental cerium anomaly? So it's difficult, but in fact, when we look at the data, we note that some samples coming from the subcontinental lithospheric material, I mean kimberlite or lamprite, they may have also a cerium anomaly. So it's a possibility. So the lanthanum cerium looks promising, but we need to have more data. We have only few data. So in fact, we have published a few papers on OIB, maybe two, and there is a group of Munster, so Andreas Stracker. So today we have this picture. So this is the curve we obtained for Island Arc lava. So it's like a nice mixing curve between the DMM and the sediment. And here you have the mantle away that is defined considering the MORB and also the YB. And in fact, it's not so easy to explain how to form the mantle away. So one model published a few years ago by Catherine Chauvel tried to explain, but it was in neodymium and hafnium. And in fact, we can reproduce, so it's like we have to imply the participation of both oceanic crust and sediment in the mantle through time. However, it is difficult to explain this value here. And if we want to reproduce this value, in fact, we have to we propose that we need sediment that have no cerium anomaly. So maybe there is a relationship with age. And if we want to reach this value, it will be a very old recycling, so before 2.4 billion years. So this was my first part. So the second one is on the short life systematics. So first, I would like to go back in 2005. I was a young postdoc in Carnegie working with Rick Carlson, and we published this paper showing that the chondrite have a negative 142 neodymium value in comparison to the terrestrial samples. So in measuring this difference, we propose that we have a global differentiation of the silicate earth and that all the samples that we have today come from a depleted mantle. So the complementary reservoir, we propose that it may correspond to a deep reservoir, so hidden since its formation, and it has to be a small reservoir, so we say, okay, maybe it can be the D double prime layer. And today we have a different picture, so we have 10 years of measurement, so it's completely different. What we know today is that the different group of chondrite have different value for the 142 neodymium, and the unsatite chondrite that are very close to the Earth for many isotopes are also the closest to the terrestrial value, and even a subgroup, the EL3, so 3 mean a very primitive chondrite from the EL group, we can see that the 142 neodymium composition is very close to zero. So there is no difference between the chondrite from this type and the Earth. And it's the same if we look at the planetary body, we can see a correlation between the 142 and the mass-independent neodymium isotope, so here 145 and 148. So today we know that when the solar system formed, it was heterogeneous for the 142 neodymium composition. So we can say that today, using the geochemistry, we have no proof for a large early form silicate reservoir that will be hidden in the deep mantle and preserved from Manton convection since the ADN. But can small size heterogeneity be preserved over the age of the Earth? So first, I would like to present the data on hafnium tungsten systematics. So it's very recent paper coming from two different groups. So they measure negative value, so small negative value, but they are resolvable in different hotspots. So here you have negative value that seems seen in Samoa, in Hawaii, in Kerguelen. And it's the same here. We have a strong anomaly in Galapagos, in Hawaii. So we have negative 142 neodymium anomaly. And what we know is that the core is the reservoir with the negative 182 tungsten signature. And we think that the outer core has a deficit of minus 200 ppm. So the question that we can ask is, do IB sample an early form mantle reservoir or trace core mantle exchange? So if we want to try to see these two different assumptions, what we can do? I can say, okay, if it's an early form mantle reservoir, I can try to see if there is a correlation between tungsten and neodymium, because the hafnium tungsten will be also fractionated, for example, during the crystallization of the magma ocean, as the samarium neodymium. But in fact, they are really easy to decouple these two systematics because they have different lifetime. That means that this one will be dead after 50 million years, but this one will be alive until 500 million years. So the time scale is completely different, and the parent daughter elements have different chemical properties. So in fact, we have no relationship, but it's not so easy to find a correlation. So core mantle exchange, so we can see that maybe there is a correlation with the tungsten and the highly siderophile element abundances. And in fact, no, there is no correlation, but it's the same. They are easy to decouple. Tungsten is siderophile, but is not a highly siderophile element. And they show that highly siderophile are not incorporated in this oxide that could be formed by exsolution from the core. And also, the siderophile behavior of tungsten change with oxygen fugacity, and it's different for the highly siderophile element. But today, several publications propose that, yeah, maybe the core is a reservoir that has long been neglected by geochemists. And so this is a combination also using partition coefficient. So here, for example, you have metal silicate partition coefficient, so for different noble gas. And in fact, they show that we can store a small quantity of helium, neon, and also iodine. So it is important because it's also a short-life systematics. So maybe the mother noble gas's signature in some OIBs could be influenced from a small core component. And so this picture has been published recently, so by Mendel, so in a paper last year. So in fact, they tried to look in more detail the correlation between the tungsten, so the 182 tungsten and the helium-3, helium-4 ratio. And in fact, they note that they have different slope. So to explain all this value, they have to imply different components. So here I can, so it is the same color in this picture. So we can have a mixing between the ambient mantle and they imply early form material, and also to have this very negative value in 182 tungsten, they think that we have core mantle equilibration. So the calculations show that the most negative value, so it's minus 25 ppm, minus 20 ppm, they can reproduce this value with a very small contribution of this core mantle equilibrated reservoir with less than 0.3%. So it's one possibility. So in fact, we have this picture. They try to relate this reservoir to link with seismic tomography, and they think that maybe the ultra low velocity zone can be the place where we can have an equilibration with the core. But for the samarium neodymium systematics, it's much more difficult because, in fact, yes, we have measured many 142 neodymium anomalies in Archean rocks. But if we look in OIB, so here it's a plot where I try to, it's not all the data, but for the major hotspot. And in fact, so there is no error bar here. I mean, there is no external reproducibility because it's a compilation of different studies, so it's difficult. But in fact, when we look in detail in the different publications, we have only two samples that have a resolved 142 neodymium anomaly, and they come from La Réunion. And in this paper, they think that maybe this one can be also resolved, but we are very close to the value of zero. So that means that today, we have no evidence in many hotspots for the presence of early form heterogeneity, maybe in La Réunion, and they have this correlation between the 142 tungsten neodymium and the helium-3-helium-4 ratio. But this is a little bit difficult because that means that we have to mix two early form reservoirs, a depleted and an enriched reservoir, in the same hotspot. So I think that we need more data to progress on this subject. So it's not a conclusion, maybe it's a summary. So we can try to add new systematics in this game to improve our knowledge on the nature of the recycled component in the mantle source. And what can be interesting with the cerium, that maybe we can see a difference between pre and post GOE sediments. And for early form reservoirs, so today we have 182 tungsten measured in many OIBs, and this signature could be linked to the core. I think we have to work more on that when we have to include more elements in the discussion. So both depleted and enriched early form silicate reservoir seems to be sampled in La Réunion. That means that this reservoir have survived in the deep earth for billions of years. And I think that we need to produce more data on 142 neodymium anomaly to see if we can reproduce this data, and we need to increase the precision. Thank you.